Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I don't know if this is working or not. Hold on. Another little wonderful technical glitch to start the show.
Good evening, and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute, and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
You know, sometimes that opening starts up all by itself, and sometimes it doesn't. I thought it wasn't starting, so I hit the button, and I think then it started, so hitting the button stopped it. And there was mass confusion, but I figured it out. And now we are together again. My name is Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is my show, Mud Toe at Midnight. Welcome to my little corner of the internet. You're listening to the With Insights radio channel of Blog Talk. And there are now, we're building up our schedule again. We're up to, oh gosh, I don't know, more shows than this one anyway. Chief Iggy is still holding down Monday evenings. We have a Tuesday lunchtime show. We have a Friday lunchtime show. And there's also a brand new show either coming or already here. I'm not sure if it started or if we're still waiting for it to start. But Dawn of the New Age, a wonderful lady who's very insightful, is starting up her own show here on the network. You can tell I've really done my homework tonight. I believe it's on Wednesdays. I couldn't tell you whether it's a lunchtime show or an evening show. I did not properly prepare for the promos. But you can look at the With Insights page on Blog Talk, or there's also a withinsights.com website, I believe, that Chief Iggy has been working on. And I'm quite certain you can view the schedule there. I'm very, very happy to welcome Dawn to our lineup because I've had a terrible crush on her for years. Asked her out, it's been some time ago, I asked her out, and she let me down so gently. It's always nice to not have your dreams bashed, but at the same time to receive honesty, so I thank her for that. Anyway, she's on the network now, so please find her show and listen to it, although I haven't really given you much help in how to find it. But anyway, I'm not here to give you the answers. I'm here to help you find the answers that are in you. How about that? So, here we are again. I'm a little bit embarrassed because I guess it wasn't on this show. I called into Iggy's show last Monday, and things have been going very well as far as this apartment that I've been trying to rent in my big city. Again, it's something that it's a city program. They're helping me out with getting an apartment that has low cost rent because I've been out of work for 2.5 years, and because I have some minor craziness going for me. I don't have quite enough craziness, actually. I'm not disabled. I can still work. I can go to the grocery store. I can pay my bills. I'm not crazy enough that someone has to take care of me. But I am crazy enough that the city will help me out with some things. One of them being I have a counselor that I don't have to. It's not that I don't have to pay for. I guess it's covered by the insurance now because I'm through. There was a Medicaid expansion in our state, and I was able to get on Medicaid, and I guess they pay for it. But I have a counselor and I have a caseworker, and they try and keep me pointed in the right direction and help keep my minor craziness in check. So hopefully I will return to being a productive human being at some point in the near future. in the meantime, you know, get me some just some space to live in and to work in, so that I'm not constantly having to borrow space from someone else, because I've lost my apartment that I had through at the end of August of last year. So it's been about 6 months now. I've been sort of a nomad, wandering from place to place. I was with my daughter and her husband for a while until they got tired of me. I spent some time with Chief Iggy. I spent some time with some various other friends, and I spent some time with various other relatives, including my parents. And at 50 years of age, living with your parents is indeed an interesting experience, and one which, you know, though I love them very dearly, I would like to cut short at the experience. I would like to cut short at the closest opportunity. And I thought that opportunity had come. I was very, things, as I said, were moving along. There's, of course, a very involved application process and all sorts of documentation that has to be handed over. And then the next stage was, or is, that you know, they pick out a place for you and show it to you, and it's not... The places, they understand that they're not owned by the city. They're private landlords who own them, and the city pays them the difference between what the fair rent would be and the rent that I'm actually going to be paying, which would be based on the amount of money I'm making from my various part-time jobs. Anyway, they have this list of apartments that that various landlords have agreed to participate in this program. And I get to go in the apartment and say yes or no. You get that privilege. We don't have to walk into the first one that they pick for us. Now, I understand that if you turn down two of them, they get things get very slow on the third one. So you kind of are in a box a little bit, but you do get that right to at least on the first one come in and say thumbs up, thumbs down. The problem is that the person who's in charge of that process, I guess, hasn't been coming into work much lately. There's some sort of personal problem going on, and they just don't, they haven't been able to arrange any of these. It's not just me. It's a number of other people, both inside and outside of the agency that I use, that haven't been able to get in to see the apartment that's been chosen for them because this person is just not available. And so this process has been halted. And I believed last week, I believed I was going to be able to get in and see that sometime this past week, and then possibly move in the following weeks, which would now be, you know, on the other side of this weekend, February 16th, the week of February 16th. Now it appears very unlikely that I will be in the apartment next week, which is problematic from two. First of all, I went on Iggy's radio show on Monday and told everybody that I was going to be in my apartment next week. I said it looked very, very favorable, and it did. I shouldn't say things like that because it seems like that happens a lot. I go, oh, you know, it's got some good news. This great thing is going to happen. I go and I tell everybody, and then it doesn't happen. And it's very sort of embarrassing to have to go back and explain to everybody what the issue was. In this case, you know, the issue is something entirely outside of myself. I wait to either for this person to come back to work, or from the other people in the office to realize, hey, someone else is going to have to do this, or else we're not going to have anybody going into apartments. And that's kind of the sticky thing with me. You know, how it could be allowed to drag out this long? And I'm sensing a disturbance in the force generated by my conservative brothers and sisters, who are saying, "Well, you know, it's because I'm depending on the government to do things for me, and I shouldn't be doing that. You know, I should be pulling myself up by my own bootstraps, and so on and so forth." And there's something certainly to be said for that. I'll also say, you know, I paid into the system for 30 years, and I have absolutely no embarrassment about utilizing resources that are available if they're going to help me out for a short period of time. So not, for me at least, I can't speak for anyone else. For me, it's not going to be a permanent way of life. But it being government work, there's a certain, let's see how I want to say this. There's a certain expectation we have of people who do services for us in the private sector. People who bag our groceries, what are other things that happen in the real world? Wait on us at whatever store, the bookstore or whatever. The people who are waiting on waitresses and waiters, people who in that moment are working for us, we expect a certain level of effort, a certain level of expertise, and yes, a certain level of deference. Even though we're entering into their area of skill, we expect them to use that skill to serve us. When you get into government work, all of that is out the window because you can't go to the government office across the street. These are the people that you have to deal with, and you have to get, you have to, whatever it is you need to get, you have to get it from them. So that sort of deference that comes, that we expect, that especially people who have had, you know, actual lives, economic type lives, who have worked and have made money and have spent money, and then when we sort of enter into that public sector, enter into the system, it can be hard to get used to because nobody's going to fawn on you, nobody's going to kowtow to you. You're there, you're in their cubicle, and they will help you out when they're doggone good and ready. And that's what I'm experiencing now, I think, with this this lady in the apartment. And it's frustrating, but I have to let go of that frustration because it comes from completely from outside of myself. It's something that I cannot control, something that I cannot change. So my getting angry and yelling at the top of my lungs while I'm driving in the car it puts me in danger, and it doesn't change anything. So I have to have some level of faith that this process is going to play, that people are going to figure things out, and this process is going to play itself out. And then I will get into that apartment just not as soon as I thought, not as soon as I'd hoped. I'm going to anyway. This week I'm going to be, I'm fortunate enough to be working at the university the first 3 days of the week, starting at 7 in the morning and probably not done until 5 or 6 in the evening. It's a major exam for the medical students, and so all of them will be there. And they all have to go through the paces of that. I'm pretending to have a certain disease, and they have to interview me and find out what it is I have. That's part of their exam. And that's why I'm not telling. Ordinarily, I might tell you a little bit about the case I'm doing, but since it's an exam, I can't. Because there's always the off chance that someone who's taking that exam might be listening to this program and might hear it, and that would give them an unfair advantage. That's the theory anyway. And, I'll stick with that. That's fine. But, that keeps me busy the first 3 days of the week. And then on Friday, I have a doctor's appointment. That keeps me in the big city basically for the whole week, which means I have to impose myself on Chief Iggy basically for the whole week. And that's a little bit more time than I feel comfortable with, particularly since at Chief Iggy's, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. He gives me a place to sleep. I'm out of the weather. I get to use the shower. It's a nice place and good people to be around. I love Iggy. I love his family. The major drawback to staying with Chief Iggy is I don't have access to the kitchen. That's sort of Iggy's mother-in-law's territory. So what I eat, I have to, and gosh, I just have to remind me this, we have a potluck on Monday. I've been assigned to get something for the potluck. I have to remember to do that. But what I'm saying is what I eat when I'm staying in Columbus, either I have to eat out, you need a restaurant, and that costs money. Or I have to get something at the grocery store that I can eat out of the box. You know, because nothing I can't prepare anything. It has to be whatever I grab. It's ready to eat. And I have to be careful because I do use EBT. I do use food stamps for many of these things. And often prepared foods you can't purchase with those. So I mean, some prepared foods that aren't prepared, that made a lot of sense. But so does a lot of government stuff. I think the key is. It's something that if you're going to sit down and eat it on the premises, like a lot of grocery stores now have an area where they have a buffet set up and you have some other things and you scoop out the food and then they ring it up. They weigh it sometimes, do it by weight. And then you sit down and eat it. That's, you know, no go on food stamps. But if they if they cooked chicken, you know, like a rotisserie chicken, if they take that rather than putting it in a buffet, they stick it in a box and put it on the shelf and stick a price on it, that's okay for EBT. There's been a vigorous debate, I know here, and I think in some other places too, New York being one of them, about the appropriateness of being able to purchase sugared drinks, you know, soda pop and such with EBT. I avoid doing that just because I don't think it's right. But at the same time, I don't know how you would police that. I don't know how you would regulate it. So, you'd have to come up with some sort of definition of what a sugar drink is. And, you know, orange juice has about the same amount of sugar in it as Pepsi does. So you couldn't go just by that. You couldn't go just by brand names. But, hey, well, change the brand name, right? So I don't know why I got into that little that little divergence there, but that's on my mind because we're getting the EBT started up again. I was off of the food stamps for a while. I had they'd started a new thing here in my state about having a job requirement, and when I mean that you had to work for your food stamps. And at the time I didn't even have my part time job, so they said, well, then you have to sign up with the county and. Then you work some sort of volunteer job or something like that to get the hours that you need. And I thought that was all going okay. But then I got a notice from them saying that I had not fulfilled the terms of my my work placement thingy, and that they were first of all they were sanctioning me, and then taking away my food stamps. And now there's a space, they sent me this form letter, and there was a space there. It says, you are being sanctioned because, colon, and then there was a blank space beneath it, and that space was blank. They hadn't written anything in it, so I have no idea exactly what it was that I did or failed to do. And by that time, the work was starting to come back from the university, so I didn't worry about it so much. Now I'm getting interested in it again because I'm hopefully going to get into this apartment, and that's going to take up, you know, some of my income paying for the apartment. Then having the EBT to help out with the food costs would be handy. So that's more government stuff to fill out. And then here in a couple weeks, tax time. I want to get my taxes because my seasonal work that I do in the spring is coming up. And I want to get that done before that starts. Last year there was a big to-do, and I ended up going to H&R Block, and they ended up making me mad because they did some things that were stupid, and I felt dishonest, at least one of them. They didn't tell me that, you know, they were filling out my taxes and said that it was going to be necessary for them to fill out a Schedule C. Now, I'd never, because I have all these part-time jobs that I get 1099s for instead of W-2s. Now, I'd never filled out a Schedule C for those things. But, you know, figured they're official, you know, they don't want to cut corners, so that's fine. But they didn't tell me how much more it was going to cost when they filed the Schedule C. It's like I ended up paying $400 for this tax return. And so I ended up complaining about that they did all of the work before they told me how much it was going to cost. And H&R Block ended up knocking half of it off. But I've been, my caseworkers put me on to, again, another government thing, this place I can go, and they'll do my taxes for nothing. So I'm bringing down the capitalist system. Every every passing day. Let me do walk in dry places. I sneaked a peek this week because I wanted to know if perhaps the reading, usually I do the reading for Friday. I wanted to know if the reading for Valentine's Day might be more interesting. But then I saw what February 13th was, and I said, nope, this is the one I need to read. It's called When Others Don't Perform. Ha-ha. I'm sorry, my eyes have been not working very well today. We'll get one of them swelled up a little bit. There will be times when other people will disappoint us, either intentionally or because of indifference or incompetence. Aha. Uh-huh. If we have been counting on them, their non-performance can cause us real anger and frustration. It is absolutely amazing how often you get into one of these readings and it reflects exactly what happened to you that day. Our growth, however, should teach us that such failures are part of life. While never losing trust in others, we must accept them as fallible people. Their mistakes and lapses come from the human shortcomings all of us have. Our best course is to live without expecting too much from others. They are not here to please or satisfy us. It's possible, too, that we've been unrealistic in some of our expectations. Me? Realistic in my expectations? I don't think so. And have set ourselves up for disappointments. Our personal responsibility is to do our best even when others fall short of our expectations. At the same time, we can grow by becoming more reliable and dependable ourselves. We cannot use another's failure as an excuse for negligence on our part. There's the key right there. Good to remember. Today, I'll expect the best, but I will know that I also have the spiritual resources to deal with the worst that can happen. Very nice. And what is the worst that can happen? Take a little more time for me to get into this apartment. It's a very important goal for me, something I've been focused on for quite some time. Been waiting for 6 months. It's very possible to wait just a bit longer. While certain things can be worked out. So I got a couple of Facebook IMs here. Let me take a look. Maybe not. Nope, nothing for me. Sorry. I do have, as it's got my, right here, I got my post I made for Mento Sasquatch Facebook page. I posted, have these things that they use that your posts get boosted. I've found if you use certain buzzwords that evidently someone out there has paid for. So on my post tonight, I wrote 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Grey. I'll bet this will be the biggest post I've ever posted, or something like that. I just typed 50 Shades of Grey 3 times. And I've got 13, so it's not threatening record territory just yet. But, you know, what I did was I misspelled Grey. I used Grey like the color gray. And I understand the book, it's actually G-R-E-Y. I don't know anything about the book. I understand it's the name of the main character. So it's a play on his name, Shades of Grey, but they're him or her, whichever one of them is the main character. I don't even know. So I made that mistake. Perhaps that's why my post is not taking off as I thought it might. Just a little experiment. Just a little Facebook thingy. Tug on the heartstrings of, I don't know about the heartstrings, Facebook has just become such a plague on my life. I don't like Facebook. Somebody, I don't like it. I don't like the way they do business. I don't like the way Microsoft does business. I don't like the way GM does business, but I can't do anything about it because I'm just Mudtoe. I'm just here. I'm here to talk, and I'm here to write if I ever have a wonderful blog post in mind, but I haven't sat down and written it, and now, unless I do it this weekend, there isn't going to be much of an opportunity to do it next week. It's not like it takes about an hour to do those blog posts. So 500-600 words, and I always have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to write before I sit down. So it's not like your days and days go into the writing of these things. Even, I guess, the most sort of complex one I wrote recently was the one that was it was a conversation between a dude and his girlfriend who was taking advantage of him financially. It was all in instant messages, all in texts. So it was them and some other people involved in this in this relationship, texting each other. So that took a little bit of, you know, it wasn't a sort of an ordinary way you write, and a little bit difficult to keep track of that way. It was an interesting exercise. I really enjoyed doing it. And I want to look at that and expand it, perhaps. I don't know how much I want to expand it. I mean, I want, you know, things I'm putting in my book, I've said a thing where I want them to be about, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 words long, but maybe not all of them have to be that long. Not all of my ideas are that big. So I say we should write a novel. I don't have an idea that big. So I don't know, you have something that would take, gosh, I don't know. Novel's just so ponderous now. So I took one up and I said, I couldn't read all of this. I couldn't, it's like a relationship. It's take me longer than either of my marriages to get through this book. So I wouldn't expect, I had one idea that I thought was a novel, but now I don't. There were so many holes in it. I had parts of it that I enjoyed. You know, these are the parts of it that are good, but I had to make it into a novel. I had to figure out what held those pieces together, and I just wasn't interested enough. Wasn't interested enough in my own handiwork to finish it. Of course, all this stuff is just floating around in my head too, and I hate myself for that. I've always fancied myself, if only I could be a writer, if only I could take you and have the time to really be a writer and really promote it and then really take a shot at it. I've got all kinds of time now, but I'm not doing it. Not doing it. So I don't really know what the problem is. Trying to get to the bottom of it. Do my counseling dutifully. I told a good story about, let's see if I got time. I think I got time to tell this before we get off the air. My father, I was talking about my father. My counselor's trying to evoke pleasant memories of my father. And I said, I saved a cat one time, saved a kitten that someone had dumped out of their car, you know, just in the parking lot at Walmart. And I picked up this cat and I took it home, and my mother wouldn't let me keep it, which I kind of knew. You know, I kind of knew she wasn't going to let me keep it. It made me sad, but it wasn't like it was a surprise. So she said, give the cat to my dad, and he would take it to the pound. And the pound, at least, the cat would have, you know, some sort of chance. You know, it wasn't going to be wandering around on, you know, some parking lot and get run over or stepped on or whatever. So I give the kitten to my... No, I'm in 90 seconds already. I gave the kitten to my father, and he told me, you did the right thing, which was, you know, about the... My dad's not somebody who expresses himself in that way, so it's one of the few bits of encouragement. I mean, he left that to Mom. So that was great, and then I capped the story with... I was 38 years old when that happened, because it kind of sounds like a six-year-old type story. I was living at home with my parents, and 38 years old when that happened. Okay, well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening. It's always such a pleasure to do this show for you. And I hope you will come back for more next week. Hopefully good news regarding apartment-related... I can't finish that sentence, I'm sorry. I can't finish the sentence, so I'm going to finish the show. Love you all, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.